Welcome to our Sunday morning service. It's the 17th of May 2020, and I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to continue our series entitled Behind Closed Doors, and we're looking at a passage this morning from Isaiah chapter 26. But first, shall we bow in a word of prayer? Almighty Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace in a spirit of humility. Lord, we come with broken hearts to you. We come, Lord, with that desire this morning to raise our Ebenezer and say, hitherto has the Lord led us. Yes, we come to thank you for your blessings until this moment. But we come also to confess our sins because we know that we are not what we ought to be. Father, have mercy upon us, poor sinners. Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we thank you for the light of the word. We thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you that we have not been left in the dark, but we have the very word of God. And we pray that the word of God will dwell richly in our hearts. Father, we find ourselves in your presence this morning, and we come in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. We thank you for the precious name of Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is the lover of our souls, the one who has loved sinners and has redeemed us from destruction. We come to praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the giver of all life. We thank you that in him we have been given eternal life. And we pray this day that as we worship you, you will fill us with all joy and peace in believing. We thank you for the great hymns that we've been able to sing this morning. And we thank you that now we can look into your word and we can pray for insight and for understanding. We pray that you would warm our hearts and thrill us with the truths of the gospel, as our hearts are drawn out to the Lord Jesus this morning. Lord, we remember one another. We pray particularly for our elderly folk, and especially for those who are living alone. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort them and strengthen them and be near them. We pray to Heavenly Father for those who are on the front line, for Carwin, for Edith, for Mark Gilmore and for Susie, as well as others. Father in heaven, would you continue to protect them and bless them? Father, we pray that at this time of lockdown, our spiritual lives will be strengthened, that you will give each one of us a spirit of prayer. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that we might even be witnesses at this time in some small way. Help us to be witnesses to those around us. Father, again, we pray for the governments and nations of this world. We ask that you would look favourably upon this world. We know that one day you're coming again. Yes, the Lord Jesus is coming to wrap up history, and on that great day we thank you that the saints shall rise to meet you in the air. We thank you for that hope that we have, that one day we will see the Lord Jesus and be like him. And Father, we realise that it will be a terrible day when your flaming vengeance is meted out on all those who have despised you and rejected you. So, Father, we look to that day with some trepidation, yet we thank you that we who love you long for that day, the day when all things shall be made new, when we will be with you. And so now we bless you and praise you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please would you open your Bible now to Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to read the whole of the chapter. The title of our message is Behind Closed Doors, What Does the Future Hold? And I'd like us to focus this morning upon verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 26. So shall we hear the word of God? In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground, he brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they will see and be ashamed for their envy of people. Yes, the fire of your enemy shall devour them. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all your works in us. O Lord our God, masters besides you have dominion over us, but by you only we make mention of your name. They are dead, they will not live. They are deceased, they will not rise. Therefore you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. Lord, in trouble, they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead shall live, together with my body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter your chambers, and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. So reads the word of God. Last week, brothers and sisters, our brother Henry reminded us of God's wonderful provision of the Passover lamb. We looked at Exodus chapter 12 and how the Passover lamb was sacrificed by the Israelites, who painted the blood of that lamb on the lintels and doorposts of their homes. And when the angel of death passed over their homes, they were spared. Now, can you imagine what it was like to be an Israelite on that evening? And can you imagine what it was to be an Egyptian on that evening? For the Israelites, there was tremendous relief. They were going to be safe from their oppressors. They would leave hurriedly after the angel of death had passed over them and struck the firstborn child of every Egyptian home. It was a night of deliverance and salvation for them. But for the Egyptians, it was a night of judgment and anguish. Now today I'd like to continue that theme of judgment and salvation. Our text is verse 20 of Isaiah 26. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. Now, as we look at this verse in the context of chapters 25 and 26, there's a prediction of the Babylonian captivity ending. Isaiah the prophet sees into the future. He sees that God is going to raise his people, send his people into captivity for 70 long years. But at the end of it all, he will raise up a new nation who will strike terror into the hearts of the Babylonians. And on that day, God's people are to enter into their chambers and shut the doors behind them and wait for a little while until the indignation is past. Then they will be delivered. It will be a perplexing time for them. They may have wondered what the future will hold. But God is calling them to be still, to shut the doors behind them and to wait upon him. Now, as we consider the theme this morning of judgment and salvation, I believe it's right not only to consider this immediate context, but the greater context which Isaiah points to. You see, in these chapters, we not only have the promise of safety and deliverance from the Babylonians as God forewarns judgment upon their enemies, but we also have a promise of safety for God's people on that final day of judgment, a promise of glorious deliverance then. We live in a vale of tears where suffering, death and evil are realities of human existence in 2020. But Isaiah looks to the end of history. In chapter 25, verse 8, we read this: "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all eyes, from all faces." Is not our final enemy death? And is not that the greatest deliverance of all, to be delivered from death? You see, Isaiah is not only prophesying into Israel's immediate history, but he's prophesying about future times, the time when death itself shall be swallowed up, when there'll be ultimate victory for God's people. In chapter 26, verse 19, we read, "Your dead shall live, together with my dead body. They shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust." So this morning we're going to look at this subject behind closed doors. What does the future hold? And we will consider first of all the promise of salvation, and then secondly the warning of judgment. So first of all, the promise of salvation. It's now 7 weeks into lockdown, and some of you may be wondering, what does the future hold? Is my job secure? Will I be able to see my aging parents this year who live so far away? Will university restart? What if a vaccine is not found? How long will this last? How long will it go on? Well, it wasn't easy for God's people in Babylon. The Babylonian captivity was to last 70 years. There, God's people lived trying to be at peace with the people around them and to pray for the cities they dwelt in. At the same time, they needed to repent of the sins that had led them into captivity and call upon God for their return to Israel. We remember Daniel as he opened his windows to their homeland and prayed in the direction of Jerusalem, praying and longing that they would be brought back. Captivity was not an easy time. It was 70 years, not 7 days. 70 years, not 7 months. 70 years, not 7 years. It was 70 years, a lifetime. And yet the prophet Jeremiah had told them that after 70 years, they would be brought back. Salvation was sure. And so Isaiah in chapter 26 predicts this deliverance. And he says that the indignation of God will come upon the oppressive Babylonians who've conquered all the nations with gross violence and in great pride. And it will be the time for God to take vengeance upon Babylon. And in such a day as that, God's people were to come into their chambers, to shut the doors, to hide themselves just for a moment until the indignation passed by. This reminds us of what we heard last week when God's people in Egypt sat in their homes and waited for the indignation to pass by. This also reminds us of another sermon that we heard about Noah. The judgment of God was coming upon the earth, and the Lord shut the door of the ark to keep his people safe. Noah was rescued behind closed doors. We're also reminded of another instance in the Bible when Rahab and her family were kept safe in her house with the door shut as judgment came upon Jericho. All she could do was to wait until she was rescued. You see, there are many instances in the Bible of God's deliverance to a passive people, a people who are hemmed in and shut up, who can do nothing but wait upon their God, waiting for his salvation. and surely deliverance will come. And so Isaiah tells them, go into your homes, wait for this deliverance. And in chapter 25, verse 9, we read, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad to rejoice in his salvation. God's people must wait patiently for him. God's people are called to wait in expectation for him. God's people have every confidence in the power and the mercy and the kindness of God to deliver them. So in the face of a new empire rising up to take over Babylon, they're called to go into their homes, to stay behind closed doors, and to wait for him. They will not be part of the deliverance. They will not go out with swords to fight. They must simply stand still and see the salvation of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 8, this is what we read. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. You see, at a time of judgment, God's people are called to look to him and wait for him. Why? Because they want his name to be honoured again and they desire that he will be remembered. And they are to acknowledge that only he can make that happen. And so we read in chapter 26, verse 9, this truth. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Brothers and sisters, is this not we desire? We earnestly desire that God will be honoured and that we will find him, that we will seek him, and that we would understand how he uses times of judgment to humble the nations, and we will only know this as we wait upon him. But now let me explain three ways in which these truths of waiting upon God apply directly to us. First of all, let's think of the time when you're in a fix and there's no way out, when you're hemmed in on every side and you can do nothing. Perhaps your teenage daughter has got pregnant. You can do nothing. Perhaps you've lost your job with no prospects of a new one. That'll be true of many people during this corona crisis. Or perhaps it's that elderly patient who's in hospital and happens to be your parent suffering from coronavirus. What can you do? Remember Israel when they faced the Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front. The Egyptians were behind. There was a mountain on either side. What could they do? What do you do when there's nothing that can be done? You wait upon God. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut the doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment and see what I will do. You wait for God to act. And then secondly, the second application. What do we do when it's a time of chastening? When the doors of our churches are closed, and when we can no longer meet together, when the church is experiencing dwindling congregations and the faith of many has grown cold, and when there's little further for the things of God, and where there are many backslidden hearts, what do you do then? You go into your room, you shut the door, you pray to your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. At this time of lockdown, the Lord is surely saying to the church, the answer to our weakness is not in our activity. The answer is in God himself, therefore we will seek him. And thirdly, the third application to this call to wait upon God is that we might enjoy the Lord and enjoy his peace. Remember what Howard said on Thursday night. He mentioned how when you go into the countryside, you can stop and admire it and enjoy it, maybe chat to somebody, albeit at a distance. Or You might, on the other hand, simply just do some exercise and take no pleasure in the environment around. How to apply this to our spiritual lives? He asked us, what are we like? Are we resting in the Lord, behind closed doors and enjoying him? Or is it all about duty, doing your spiritual exercise, but taking no pleasure in the Lord? Look at what the Lord desires. Isaiah 26, verse 12. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all your works in us. Yes, at that time when the Babylonians were going to be overwhelmed by the foreign enemy of the Medes and Persians, the Israelites could say, but Lord, you have established peace for us. They could be sure of that. But they could also say this, you've not only done it for us, but you've done it in us. Lord, you've established peace for us. You've done these works in us. We have peaceful hearts. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you, because he trusts in you. Yes, perfect peace is promised to all who trust in him and wait for his salvation. So how does these truths apply to us, the truths of the need to wait upon God? Well, first of all, when we're in a fix, when we can do nothing, stand still and see the salvation of God. Secondly, when we recognise that the chastening hand of God is upon us, then we're to remind ourselves that it's not activity that will get us out of this. That's not the remedy for the discipline of the Lord. But it's only God himself who can restore us. So we seek him. And thirdly, we come behind closed doors, not only to wait upon God and realise that it's only he who can resolve our situation, but to enjoy him and to enjoy his peace, to keep our minds stayed upon him, knowing that he will keep in perfect peace those minds that are stayed upon him. As we said earlier, ultimately these passages point us forward to the promised hope of salvation at the end of time. The New Testament fixes our eyes on the great hope laid up for the believer. Did not our Lord Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Apostle Paul wanted the church in Ephesus to understand what it meant that one day they would be with Christ in glory. Yes, one day they would be with their Redeemer, because he had gone to prepare glorious rooms, even mansions in glory for them. And so Paul prayed for the Ephesians in this way, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, laid up for us in heaven where moth and rust cannot get in and spoil. This is the inheritance reserved for God's people. Now Isaiah graphically describes this coming salvation as a great feast. Isaiah 25 verse 6, and in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees, the best of all banquets. Now the Jews, as they read this, would look forward to the messianic banquet. They believed that the Messiah was coming, and he would establish upon the earth his kingdom, where they would celebrate a great and glorious banquet. Now the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 14, knowing the Jewish belief, described salvation as a great supper. Our minds go back to Isaiah 26, 25 and verse 6, because through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, all things are now ready, And in Luke chapter 14, Jesus speaks of salvation as being a great supper, a sumptuous banquet, and all things are now ready. We are to but come. Brothers and sisters, we have so much to look forward to. The Jews look forward to deliverance from Babylon, and they look forward to an earthly messianic banquet. But we have the marriage supper of the Lamb to look forward to, a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow. This is the feast of salvation, where we will feast upon Christ, upon his love, upon his mercy. Forever and ever we will rejoice in him. And the best thing will be this, to be in his presence with no sin whatsoever, forever and forever. Brothers and sisters, at this time of lockdown, the Lord would have you to think much upon heaven. Did we not read in Isaiah 25 verse 8 this promise? He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from their faces. There's a lot of tears at the moment, so much death. There's a lot of weeping the world over, with loved ones in hospital, unable to be visited. There's a lot of tears as many funerals are taking place. But the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful good news is that death has been swallowed up in victory. I cite Isaiah 26 verse 19. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and when he comes again, the dead in Christ shall rise at the trumpet sound of God. They shall rise and be with Christ forever in glory. This is what we are to look forward to. Our homeland is to be with Christ. And so we read in Revelation 21 verses 1 to 5. Of that day when the heavenly Jerusalem shall descend upon the earth, and those who are upon the earth shall meet their comrades, the heavenly Jerusalem, in the air, and there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. The Apostle John writes, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Glory, glory, glory dwells in Emmanuel's land, and one day by grace we'll be there. One day all those who love the Lord Jesus will be in his presence, and what joy will be ours. There's no better contemplation of this. But as for now, come, my people, enter into your chambers, shut the doors behind you, hide yourself, as it were, for a little while. We have not much more time upon this earth, this veil of tears and sufferings. We're behind closed doors. What will the future hold? What have you to look forward to? You have no reason to be sad, but every reason to rejoice in him. But secondly, and lastly, and more briefly, this passage also reminds us of judgment. We need to consider this. The Bible says, Behold the goodness and the severity of God. As Isaiah says in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 26, Hide yourself, as it were, for a moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord goes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Now, brothers and sisters, whilst we are always to pray for mercy for the wicked, we're to pray that grace will be shown to the wicked. Isaiah 26 verse 10, may grace be shown to the wicked. We know the inescapable truth that all who continue in sin and do not repent will face the final judgment of God. Verse 1 of chapter 27 says, "In that day the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan. He will punish that great empire of Babylon, Leviathan, that twisted serpent. He will slay that reptile in the sea." And so it will be, just as the Lord will execute judgment on Babylon, he will execute final judgment on an unbelieving world at the end of time when Jesus Christ comes again. Satan will be slain, and all those who have not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus will be punished. Now today, many people do not believe in coming judgment. Human beings tend to think that as long as all things are going well, all will continue to be okay. We may have had a few scrapes in life and come through a few scares. We may have come through an operation or survived an accident. We may have come through a time of financial loss or a relationship breakup. We've survived it. We've got away with a few things in life, and well, as long as we've done our hardest and sought to be kind, all will be well. There cannot possibly be a judgment for us. God just can't be like that. We may have got away with a few things in life, a few misdemeanors, a few underhand deals, but it's okay. As long as we're okay, or relatively okay, we're just going to carry on until our dying and hope for the best. We just really don't believe in judgment. But my friend, I want to say this to you. As surely as God judged the earth at the time of Noah, he will judge again. As surely as he judged the Egyptians in Moses' day, he will punish the earth again. As surely as he would judge that great Babylonian empire in Daniel's day, this prophecy that is given by Isaiah, he will judge Babylon. So Christ will come again, and he will judge the earth. At the moment, his judgment is deferred because he's giving opportunity to men and women to repent. But if you reject his message now, make no mistake about it, you will face the judgment of God. Jesus said to Capernaum, that city where he worked so many miracles, that it would be far worse for them on the day of judgment than for Sodom and Gomorrah. To reject him now, to reject his love now and his grace now, is to face certain wrath then. You see, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read this: "He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe." Yes, on that day, Christ will come, and there'll be no place to escape. On that day, nobody will go into their homes and shut the door for safety. No, it'll be too late then. In fact, people will be so frightened that they will call the rocks to fall upon them to hide them from the wrath of Jesus. But though for those who've believed, it'll be a glorious day. For the believer, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us. For those who believe, what a day of joy it will be. For the believer, it will be deliverance from a veil of tears. It will be glory in his presence. But what a terrible day of separation for the unbeliever, separation into everlasting destruction. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind yourself, as it were, for a little moment. Think now behind those closed doors. What will the future hold for you? Will it be heaven? Will it be hell? Will it be glory? Will it be destruction? Today is a day of evil. The coronavirus is rife. Is this not a wake-up call to the world to repent? But is it not also a call to the believers to look up, knowing that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed? Is it not a reminder to us all that this world is an uncertain place and the only certainty is found in God? Believer, consider the promise of your salvation. Wait, wait upon God. Wait for Christ to come again. Whatever your circumstances are, hope in him. But to the cynic, to the sinner, to the skeptic, I must say this. Do not wait, but cry out to God, flee to him, for Christ is coming again to judge. Call upon him to forgive you, lest that day fall upon you unawares. Jesus has spilt his blood that guilty sinners might go free. Come to Christ. He offers eternal life to all who believe. Will you not come to him today? What will your future hold? Will it be heaven? Will it be hell? Behind closed doors, contemplate the last day. But I want to end with the glorious truths of heaven again for the child of God. For the whole of history culminates in a new heaven and in a new earth where righteousness dwells. And so the Apostle John says this, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign for ever and forever. This morning I leave you with this glorious promise of heaven, a promise to all who've come to Jesus and have been cleansed in his precious blood. Yes, come into your chambers. Come in and hide. Come and wait upon the Lord. Contemplate him. Contemplate glory. Yearn for that glorious day when Christ will come again. May that be so for each one of us. Shall we now sing to God's glory? Amen.